Kinga is a Polish pilot who spends half her year in New Zealand and the other half in Europe, chasing an eternal summer. Kinga first came to my attention when I saw her beautiful film of her solo traverse of the New Zealand Southern Alps. In this film, she shows the highs and lows, the pains and the gains of such an adventure. And incidentally, she broke the New Zealand women's distance record by a big margin on that trip. I personally don't know of any other women who take on these big solo hike and fly adventures, and so I was keen to talk to Kinga about why that is, what she gets out of them, and what her future in hike and fly comps is. At the time of recording, she hadn't been informed that she's got a place in the 2019 X-Alps, and this means that she'll be only one of six women ever to have competed in the race. Here she is to introduce herself.
My name is Kinga Masztales. I was born in Poland, and a few years ago when I discovered paragliding, I left Poland because there was no flying there, and I moved first to Italy, then to France, and then through China and Australia, I landed in New Zealand. And since then, for the last 3 years, I've been dividing my year for New Zealand when summer there on the southern hemisphere. And when spring comes to Europe, I move to Pian Alps and live in my van and follow the weather. So I grew up on the north of Poland, and as a child, found it really hard that you can't see the sun for a whole winter, and it's very, very cold. And I used to think, oh, it would be so nice to have two summer seasons per year. So here we are, two summers per year. I was a very keen rock climber before, for quite a few years, and I was so much into it. All my free time, holiday planning, friends, and diet, and training, everything was about rock climbing. And till I hurt my elbow, it wasn't anything very serious, and it's nothing really to talk about because it was like stupid fall on training. But I couldn't climb for a few months, and doctors told me that I will heal 100%, but I need to quit climbing for half a year. So of course, it was very hard. When you're so much into something, you can't really imagine, you know, living without it. And also, my body was so used to everyday regime, training regime. I started running more and more, but running, unfortunately, doesn't give you this adrenaline rush that you are used to when you climb. And then this friend of mine who just started flying just gave me this idea. I knew that paragliding existed, but I thought, because I saw it once in, when I was climbing close to Lago di Garda in Italy, some pilots were flying from Monte Baldo over Garda Lake, and I thought, oh, that must be cool, but I will just leave it for the time somewhere in the future, maybe when my body won't be strong enough to do rock climbing, to practice rock climbing on a high level, let's say. And so I thought I will just keep it for retirement. But the first moment when I started with a course in Polish school, the very basic course, doing like little hops from the 10 meter hill. But then I went to Italy for this course. It's not even an advanced course, it's just a course after which you get your license. And the first time I took off, I was completely hooked, and I knew that this is something that I want to do a lot. And actually, a few weeks or months later, I thermaled my first cloud base, and I was so excited about it. I had basically tears in my eyes. So I decided that I want to fly, nothing else matters. So I left my very nice job in marketing agency. I was working as a strategist in marketing agency, worked on commercials and nice hipster lifestyle, and left the city, left the apartment, and moved to Bassano del Grappa, where I basically flying all winter. And then the spring came, I moved to close to Saint-Hilaire, du Touvet in France. And then, since then, I've been chasing it all the time. So that was the beginning. It was actually very smooth as long as I was in Bassano. And if you know the place, it's very easy, very mellow, especially in winter. I moved there in autumn, so I spent the whole winter there, 6 months. And I started having this feeling that I know what I'm doing and I'm already quite a good pilot. But then the first spring came and it showed me that I know nothing, and I survived it somehow. And since then it was more balanced and better and safer also.
I didn't realize that you'd only been flying for 4 years, because looking at what you've achieved in those 4 years, you know, you've got the New Zealand women's record, and you're one of the only women I know that does solo hike and fly.
Yes, I also unfortunately don't know more girls doing it, and I just don't know why. I think we can do it. Why not?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing stopping you apart from, or nothing stopping us, maybe lack of fitness and unconfidence. What made you want to do the Southern Alps crossing, and what made you want to do it solo?
I simply fell in love with these mountains when I saw them for the first time. Was the first season when I came to New Zealand, and I was very inexperienced pilot still, and I was flying for a year basically, and mostly in Bassano and Saint-Hilaire, and I didn't really understand well the complicated weather and valley system of New Zealand Alps. They're difficult mountains mostly because, for a few reasons. One is that they are so wild, and there are valleys and valleys and kilometers of valleys with absolutely no one and no civilization, no road or village or people. But also the weather is quite complicated, because these are mountains. On one side there is a Tasman Sea, and on the other side there is a Pacific Ocean. So there's always wind there, from here or there, and sometimes this wind, depending on the day, even the valley winds can go in the wrong direction. So it's kind of demanding terrain, but also very beautiful. And when I went there for the first time, they scared me. They scared me also because I listened to some local pilots that were talking about how demanding they are and how wild they are. But that's always good to have respect, but not always good to listen to others kind of projecting their own fears on you. Yeah, I fell in love with the mountains. I also realized that there's not so many pilots flying deeper in these mountains when you fly over terrain with no roads and no civilization. First time I was there, I was just cruising around very carefully and accidentally actually broke my first full miles record. And, you know, it was just like 85 kilometers or 84 kilometers open distance. So you can imagine that if this is the record, you can imagine how much potential there was still in these mountains. Because of their nature, there's not many pilots going there, not many pilots flying there, but absolutely no women really flying there, because of the reasons probably that we started talking about like how bold we women are and how self-confident about putting ourselves in the middle of nowhere. So day after, I had this very nice flight and a beautiful day that actually I could have flown way farther. I just wasn't really prepared and didn't really know where to go. Day after, I accidentally met for dinner with Benoit and Antoine, two famous, right now very famous French pilots, who just finished their crossing of New Zealand mountains. They talked about it, and they started my dream. I just, I just cruised very carefully, 80K or 120K altogether around these mountains. I barely scratched the surface, but I just started dreaming how awesome would it be to go for such a trip, really, through these mountains, carrying all you need, and without bothering if you follow the roads or if you go back for dinner, or how long you will have to hike out if you land somewhere. And this is this kind of freedom that generally Volbivac is this kind of freedom of crossing the terrain that very often would be impossible to cross otherwise by paraglider, or it would take weeks to go around some particular massifs. And yes, I was also during this trip in New Zealand flying over terrain that I would never be able to see if I was just on foot. So I knew it's possible, but at the same time it was such it's a big dream for me that it scared me a little bit, but it also touched something in my soul that was something very deep, that it really triggered emotions. I thought that this is something worth preparing and trying. I thought first that I would do it with my partner, Chris, after this dinner with Benoit and Antoine. It took me 2 years to actually go back to this New Zealand Alps and do my Volbivac alone. But within these 2 years, I did smaller trips, a little bit alone, a little bit with my partner, Chris. And of course, it's incomparable how much easier it is to do something like this with a partner or with a group. Group may be complicated because of logistics, but at least with someone else, with partner that you trust and that you can share the experience, because of safety, because of leading and making decisions in the air, because of the responsibility. If when you are tired and maybe hungry, tired, and you really want to take off, but it's really blowing, and it's just, is it okay, or am I doing something really stupid right now? So having someone to confront it with, it's priceless. It makes things so much easier. So emotionally and mentally, it's so harder to do it alone. But I had to learn all this. I kind of knew it would be harder to do it alone. But for me, the main reason why I wanted at the end to go for this particular trip alone was that as a woman, even if I do fly some bolt lines, or even if I go into the mountains and spend night or two, or if I do go for a Volbiv and I'm with someone else, as you said, there's no girls doing this stuff, so it's always a man, and usually it's my partner, Chris. It's not only that everybody think later that I just followed him. Oh, do you also fly? You know, you're a girl, so obviously you're following men. So this was hurting my ego a little bit, but it's not the most important part. The most important part is that, especially in Volbiving, after a few days it can get so hard, we may not even want it, but somehow we get into this roles of a man who is stronger and supportive, and a girl who can, you know, support herself on his strong arm, shoulder. Somehow it affects the energy that you can kind of be weak, and then he will help you. He'll carry a little bit more water, he will make a tent, he will reinforce your decision of taking off, he will tell you it's okay, we are doing good, or, you know, there's a lot of psychological and also physical support when you do it with someone else, but especially if you are a woman in a mixed team. And it's a bit of like, this is how it is. We can talk about the reasons for it and what I think and what's your opinion. But the truth is, this is what it is. So I wanted to check how it is without this support, without this reinforcement, without this help, mental and physical help, how it is to be there alone. And this is why I decided to do it alone. Yeah, and I decided to do it in this very, very remote mountains, because when I do things like this in Europe, for example, you have always this nice comfort that you meet someone on the way, that you see some other gliders time to time, that you meet other tourists, or, you know, you land in the valley and you can go for pizza, or if you just decide that you're fed up and you have enough, you just, you know, hitchhike or go to the bus stop and go home. While in New Zealand, I mean, first almost 5 days I didn't see a soul, you know, and it puts you in the very particular mindset that you are really alone and you have to deal with everything. And I found all these aspects very attractive, and I guess I just wanted to see if I'm what I'm capable of.
I really loved your Girl Gone Wild film on the Southern Alps wall booth, not just for the scenery, because I love New Zealand, but for the raw emotions you showed, and it's like the film's complete honesty.
Yeah, thanks. That's exactly what I wanted to show. I mean, this is a different way of telling stories. Paragliding is such a male sport, and in general, there's not so much talking about emotions, because boys just, you know, boys don't cry, boys don't talk about emotions, boys are not afraid, or nothing is too hard for them. They just thrive all the way and are basically heroes, you know, for 24/7. And because I was alone on this trip, everything was even stronger. Being alone definitely triggered so much more extreme emotions in me, and also this is why this movie is so emotional. I wanted to show the whole journey, not only physical journey through beautiful mountains, but also this mental journey that came with it. Yeah, it was hard sometimes. Sometimes it was very beautiful, sometimes it was very hard. For sure, when I'm with someone in the mountains and it's getting a bit hard or cold, or you know, I don't cry. But because I was alone and there was so many extreme emotions, they needed release. And because there was no one to talk to, or no one to be, you know, there's no reason to be shy about it, or to think how it would look like, think that I need to be strong because someone is watching, that became very honest and very emotional also. And then when I came back and I looked at this footage, I just realized that this emotional part, for me, it's maybe even more important than some record that I, you know, or some kilometers floor hiked, because this is what I look for in the mountains and paragliding, these emotions, and becoming stronger and hopefully better person. So yeah.
So you're planning other hike and fly adventures in the future?
Yeah, completely. When I think about the dreams or ideas that trigger emotions, they are all connected to mountains and or potential or planned Valdiv. And I'm thinking also about higher mountains, and this is very exciting and also scary, of course. But, you know, we'll say, because the plans, we can all talk about our plans, and we are all very brave with our plans and dreams. But at the end, it's, you know, from all our ideas that happen, these are important.
There are so few women in hike and fly comps. So this year you did the Born to Fly, the Dolomiti Superfly, and the San Helier Tour, is that right?
I was quite unfortunate this year with these competitions. My first hike and fly competition, I was very happy to do it, because it's a great way of learning and sharing, and has very very different dynamics than Volbeef. Everything happens faster, but also you have all this comfort of the safety net, and you have a supporter, everything for you that he can, and other pilots around. And so it all becomes really faster, but at the same time so much, I would say, so much easier in some ways, you know. So of course, if you make a mistake that others are running away, it can be frustrating. Generally, I would say that it feels a bit easier than being alone. But after, I was a little bit unlucky with other competitions that you talked about, because first one, I didn't even start it, because the day before I did briefing and got a t-shirt and everything, and then my van broke down and we couldn't reanimate it, and my wonderful team of Sebastian and Chris was like, they were fighting with it all night long, and we just didn't manage to find the right part to repair it soon enough to participate in it. However, I always, you know, it's always easy to to focus on the fact that something didn't work. At the same time, when we finally found this park, and it was maybe 4 days later, so I couldn't participate anymore in the competition, in the air tour. But we went to South Tyrol, and I flew a triangle of 215 kilometers. And what's even more important, was able to help a pilot who threw a reserve in the very the terrain high in the mountains and call police, oh my God, and call a helicopter and help him. So I would say that, you know, we can, what if? But I would say that at the end it wasn't so bad. And Dolomiti Superfly, it was even more frustrating because the day before, again, the briefing was the day before, I woke up with a really bad sore throat. And I thought, no, it's not possible. I mean, not today, not before this Dolomiti Superfly, because I was really waiting for it, looking forward, and was very excited about this particular competition, because it happens, it's this amazing, beautiful Dolomites. And I had blocked nose and sore throat, but there's no way I will get over it. And I participated anyway. I kind of knew that I wouldn't be able to perform as I would like to, but part of why I do these competitions is also to find my personal limits and see what I'm capable of. So I say, okay, you are sick, you're, let's say, 70% of what you would be normally, but let's see how far we can go with it. And a few days before the Dolomiti Superfly, I lost my phone. As soon as I could, I ordered another phone online, and then DHL lost this phone forever. Basically, 2 days before the competition, still without the phone, I finally borrowed one from a friend, and with this borrowed phone and sore throat, I went for the competition. And I did what I could for first, second day. The weather was quite difficult. There was a lot of north wind, so it was very, very interesting flying and a lot of hiking. And on the second day in the afternoon, I felt really bad. I think worse and worse, but I was really stubborn. Now I think it might have been quite stupid that you can hurt yourself. The whole body is really weak, and it's nice that you are stubborn and you try to prove something, but it's also you can hurt your heart or your body. I was doing what I could, and then this borrowed phone died completely. So we're trying to reanimate it. I was coughing so badly already that we didn't sleep for the last 2 nights, neither me nor my supporter Chris, because I couldn't sleep. I spent the night in a sitting position while some local service was trying to reanimate this phone, and in the morning we realized that it's like the phone is not working. I can't walk, hike without coughing. And it was a very hard decision on the third day in the morning, because it was the best day of the week, and I knew that in 3 hours I can be in the air and over Canadsay, and you know, finally made some decent distance and just push it. But I just had to withdraw, because it was like, you know, I just felt that the universe is not cooperating this time. And then we took a room, and I put myself in bed, and I got fever, chills. I didn't know what my name was for like 2 days. I was completely dead. And it's quite impressive what the body can handle, but if you force it to. But once my body realized, okay, we are resting now, it completely fell apart, and I was very sick for like a week and then was still coughing for 2 weeks. But when I finally got better, Chris already left for New Zealand. I had such a strong regret that I had only 2 days of these competitions instead of a whole week of adventures in Dolomites. I was so sad about it that I thought that I will go and do it for myself, go to these Dolomites and do it to myself. And I started in Levico, and, you know, it's very different, of course, because I was alone again, no support. So I had 17 kilograms in my backpack, not 8, like for competition. So the pace was very different. My decision-making was also different. I wasn't hiking the road. I was, you know, playing in the mountains, even if it was a bit slower, but more beautiful. Yeah, and I had a beautiful time, very nice weather. So I flew very interesting flights, not only one really nice flight from Chernivtsi all the way to Monte Cristallo for the heart of Dolomites, but also quite a few smaller flights that were thrilling. So again, I wouldn't do it if I participated in Dolomiti Superfly, because I would be already like really exhausted with Dolomites and fulfilled, probably. For sure, some other beautiful things would have happened if I participated in Dolomiti Superfly. But this solo autumn Volbeat through Dolomites, so beautiful that I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't change it really. So, you know, I was a bit unlucky, but I'm also quite lucky at the same time.
And have you got any ambitions to do any of the really big hike and fly races, like the Ex-Alps or the Ex-Pur?
Of course, it's an ultimate adventure. There's like lots of logistics and organizations that's needed. If you have such a chance, of course you should take it. But saying this, my heart is still in the mountains on some solo or small vol bivouacs, which are maybe slower type of adventure, but just very different, with huge freedom and just you and the mountains. Because like things like X-Alps, nowadays the pilots have teams for like 20 people around them, and it's more teams. It's becoming more and more a team sport. It's just very different, but it's not worse or better. It's just very different, and still it's very impressive what's possible when good pilots have good teams and are also strongly motivated by such a big race. That's definitely a great opportunity to push your limits way farther than you would ever do it otherwise. So yeah, it's fascinating. I always follow X-Alps, and it's been turning me on since I started flying, since I heard about it the very first time. So yes.
Thank you so much for your time, and we wish you all the best for the 2019 X-Alps, and I really look forward to seeing you on the raft in Monaco. You can find Kinga's excellent Volbeuf films by searching for Girl Gone Wild on YouTube or by seeing the podcast page on theparaglider.com. Thank you for listening to this Paraglider podcast. If you would like to hear others, you can download more than 70 others on topics like techniques, competitions, psychology, safety, paragliding culture, and more. You just have to go to www.theparaglider.com/podcasts and you'll find the whole list there. If you feel that you've benefited from the information, please support us to do more. By becoming one of our patrons, you make a donation each time we release a podcast. It's not a monthly subscription. You only pay for what you actually get. We have no other income streams and would prefer not to clutter up your listening with advertising. You can give as little as a dollar an episode, which is less than a pound or a euro. With your support, we can produce podcasts more often. We've got a massive list of ideas, just not enough time away from the day jobs to plan, research, record and edit them. Your donation also helps us with our server costs, so many thanks in advance. You can find out how to donate and become our Patreon on any page of theparaglider.com.